We begin the current daven, Masechtas Kittin, daf lamed hey. We begin on the second line down with the top of the yamud, where the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah of the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah told us that everyone, including a widow, can only collect from the estate of the orphans only with an oath. So when she's coming to collect her ksuba, she has to make a shavua. However, the Mishnah tells us that, as our Gemara quotes, nimnu milhajbia, but they refrained, they didn't allow the woman to take her oath, so then she wasn't able to collect her ksuba. Because the only way she could collect it was with a shavua, and they said that she can't make the shavua anymore. That's where the takana of Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken came in, where he then instituted, so instead of making a shavua, which we're not letting her make anymore, she should make a neder, a vow, which the difference is an oath is saying that I'm forbidden, and this versus a vow is saying that this is in the object, is a different halacha, saying that these things are forbidden to me if what I'm saying, if I had collected already. Now, not the Gemara asks my time. What's the reason? Why did they refrain, not allow the woman to make a shavua? So the Gemara wonders. Ilei mishum de Rav Kahana. If it's because, like Rav Kahana says, the Amar Rav Kahana said, Vamrila and son say it was Amar Rabbi Huda Marav. There was a ma'isa ba'odim echad b'shnei b'tzari. So it was an incident with a man in a famine year, in the year of hunger. Shehifke diner zav etzlamana, that he had deposited a golden dinner by a widow. And she wanted to put it in a safe place. She put it in a jug of flour. Now, she didn't realize, she didn't remember that she had the golden dinner there in that place with the flour. And she baked it into bread. And she gave it to a poor person. The yamen bala dinner. Sometime later, the owner of the dinner came to collect his deposit. The Amar Allah Avili dinner, and he said, give me my dinner. Amar Lay, she said to him, Yehenna, it should be effective. In other words, it should work to kill. Sam Hamavis, the potion of death, Be'echad Mibanea Shal Eisa Isha, in one of the sons of that woman. Ibn Hanesi Midinrecha Klum, if I had pleasure, benefited from your dinner whatsoever. In other words, he's coming to claim and say, where's my golden coin? You stole it. She's like, I swear I didn't have any pleasure from your golden coin. I mean, it could be she didn't remember what happened. The point is, she's trying to say that I didn't have any pleasure from it. Now, Amr, they said, it wasn't a short time later that one of her sons died. When the sages heard about this, they said, if regarding someone that when they swore truthfully, and yet still one of her sons died. So if someone swears falsely, all the more so, and therefore this is a very harsh thing. And therefore, this is something that we don't want people to be making anymore, because we see the great consequences that happen. Now the Gemara wonders, my time at Iyanja, why was she punished? Why did one of her children die? As we said, she was swearing truthfully, she actually didn't have any pleasure from it. It was actually given to a poor person. So why did one of her children die? So the Gemara explains, Dishtar Shila Mokim Dinner. Because actually she did gain a little bit in the dough, the size of the thickness of the dinner coin, because if the dinner wasn't there, she would have had to put in more dough to make the bread. So she gained, and when she gave the loaf to the poor person, that she didn't have to give away more dough. Now, so the Gemara asks, so my mission is b'be emes. So then what does the Gemara mean when it says that if we find that's the punishment by someone that swears truthfully, for sure, someone that swears falsely, what do you mean? She didn't swear truthfully. She did have pleasure from it, and that's why one of her sons died. So the Gemara answers, no, Kamisha Nishba Be'emes. Like someone that swore truthfully, in other words, because it was an error, she made a mistake. Meaning, because she wanted to say the truth, she didn't realize that she had any benefit. She's like, I don't know where it is. It maybe went to a poor person, but I didn't have any pleasure. So because that the consequence, the punishment of an oath is so great, like we find in this incident, so therefore, they refrained from having her make an oath when she wants to go ahead and collect her ksuba from the orphans. No. So the Gemara asks, if that's the reason why nimnu milashbiya, imishum ha, if that's the reason, my ir yaman, said, why, as our Mishnah tells us, did they say that only a widow cannot collect from the nechzi simon with a shvua, a filigrushanami, even a divorcee also should apply. In other words, if we're saying that it's something related to a woman, and not regards to any creditor who collects with a shavua, there is halacha shavua, but by a wife, so we're saying that when she's widowed, she cannot. Well, what's the difference then when she's divorced? Alom Amr B'Zerah Mishmuel. Why did B'Zerah say in a Mishmuel that Leishanu El Almana, that we only said this halacha, that we refrained her from making a shvut to collect her ketubah from Nechsi Yisaimim? That's only if she's a widow of a grusha mashbin, but if she was a divorcee and her, the one who divorced her died, she could collect from the Yisaimim with a shvut. What's the difference? If something that a woman can make an error, not realizing the magnitude and the gravity of a shvuah, and we see how consequential that could be, so what's the difference if she's widowed or divorced? Now the Gemara answer is no. Amana shani, a widow is different. Tebahi hano de katarcha kameh de yasmim, because that small amount of pleasure, for equivalent to the effort that she puts in with the orphans, meaning it's also from her family and she takes care of them, asila rui hatera. She's going to come to what's be called Meira Heter. She's going to come to rationalize for that little bit that she did get pleasure from her ksuba. She's going to think, that wasn't payment for my ksuba. Wait a minute, that's just for the effort that I put in. You know how much effort I put into these children? That's not considered payment. And she's going to end up saying, I swear I didn't have any pleasure from my ksuba. Now the truth is, she did have some pleasure. And therefore, you're going to have the consequences of the magnitude of a shavua. So therefore, they said, no, almana can't make a shavua anymore because she's not going to realize and it's going to be very consequential. But a grusha, you don't have that concern because she's not taking care of the family. A widow takes care of a grusha. She's out of the picture. Now, the Gemara explains, Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav Yimri bar Abba, Rav Shmuel, Amr Tavai, they both say that loy shanu ella bebezdin. We didn't learn this halacha that we're they refrained from having her make a shvua, that was only making an oath in the courts. Because the shvua of the judges is a biblical shvua, where the one who's making the oath holds a sefer Torah in their hands or tefillin, and they take the oath with Hashem's name or with one of his other names, as we find by Avraham Avinu, where he tells Eliezer, Simnu yotcha tachas yirechi vashbe'acha b'Hashem, which he held an object of a mitzvah in his hand. Now there the punishment is very great. But outside of the courts, there they could have her make a shvuah to collect her ksuba from the Nechsi Yisaimim, because that oath is only rabbinic, and there the consequences is only a curse of an or, of a klala, and the person who's making the oath doesn't hold any dvar mitzvah. There the punishment's not so great. There Rav and Shmuel both say that we could be mashbiyan as to Isha, even an almana from the Nechsi Yisaimim if it's out of best. Now the Gemara asks, is that really so? But Rav, how could you say Rav and Shmuel both say this halacha? But Rav loy magvi ksubasalar malta. Rav wouldn't go ahead and collect a ksuba for any widow. Your widow, you can't collect your ksuba. Now the reason is because, as our Mishnah says, nimnu melashbia. They didn't let them make a shvu anymore. Now the question is, if it's true the halacha that you just said, let her make the shvu out of bezin and collect her ksuba. So the Gemara says, Kasha, according to this version, that's definitely a difficulty, because why would Rav not let any woman collect a ksuba if she could do it out of bezin? Now, Besura Masnu Hachi. In Surah, they had taught the previous version of this halacha. But in Arda, Masnu Hachi, they taught it a different way. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda only said in the name of Shmuel, that lo yishanu ela bebezin, that this halacha of our Mishnah, that nimnu melashbi, that they didn't let almana make an oath, is only in court. But out of the courts, she could make a shavua. But Rav disagrees, and he says, no, that even out of the court, they don't let her take a shavua. It's still an oath. And Rav, according to his opinion, as we know, the Rav le'magvi ksubas l'amalta, that he wouldn't let a widow collect a ksuba, again, l'shitasa, according to his opinion, because he held that was even a forbidden, not only in court, but even out of the bezin. Now, the Gemara 1 is fine. That takes care of the option of taking a shvua, where Rav holds is not even valid out of bezin. But vili adra, let them make her take a neder. As we learned in our Mishnah, nederes liyisaimim kol mashayirtu, the orphans can make the woman take any neder that they choose, and then vili gvavya, then let her collect her ksuba. Because that, we learned in the Mishnah, that is an option, and that's what Gemilil al-Zakim was misakin, that instead of shvua, let her make a neder. So why are you not letting any amana collect her ksuba? Let her take the root of a neder. I think my answer is no. B'shnei de Rav kili nidri. In the times of Rav, nedarim, vows, were very lax in people's eyes to transgress a neder. So therefore, we couldn't rely on a neder to have her go ahead and collect her ksuba and say, oh, I'll take a neder that if I collect it, I'm not going to eat any food for the rest of my life. Because they weren't so particular and so careful with nedarim, so that wouldn't be enough of an enforcer to make sure that she's telling the truth. So shvu is not an option, and the dharma is not an option, and therefore, Rav didn't let any widow to collect her ksuba. And the Gemara brings the following incident. Hahida soy lekamed the Rav Huna. There was a certain widow that came in front of Rav Huna to collect her ksuba. So Amar Allah, so Rav Huna said to Ma a'evilach, what can I do for you? The Rav le magvi ksuba la'armalta, my Rebbe Rav, didn't collect a ksuba for any widow. So I'm sorry, I can't give you a ksuba. So Amar le, but she said to him, wait a second. Midihu taima ela dilma nakitna midi miksubasi. What's the reason why you don't let a woman collect her ksuba? Because maybe she has already collected some of the ksuba and it's incorrect for her to collect her ksuba now, or at least all of it and part of it. On that, the woman said, Chai Hashem Tzavakos, by the life of Hashem, the Lord of hosts, she was taking Yeshua, in the Nesi Miksubasiklum, if I had any benefit from my ksuba, why, what are you doing? Let me collect my ksuba. I swear that I didn't have any benefit from the ksuba. Amr Rav Huna said, Maydir Rav Bekefetzes. Rav does admit, in the case of where if a woman jumps and she swears, even though we don't want her to make a shvua, that then, since she took a shvua, then she could collect. So although we don't let them make a shvua, but if she jumps and makes the shvua, then she already made the shvua, and then she could collect her ksuba. Another incident, Hahida soy lekameid de Rav bar Rav Huna. There was a woman, a widow, that came to collect her ksuba by Rav, the son of Rav Huna. So Amalah, he said to her, Maya Avilach, what can I do for you? The Rav loy magvik subas la maralta. The teacher Rav didn't collect the ksuba for a widow. The Abba Mari loy magvik subas la maralta. And my father, my teacher, meaning Rav Huna, also didn't collect ksubas for widows. So Amalei, so she said to him, okay, look, if I cannot collect my ksuba, havli mezayin, at least give me food, sustenance, if I'm going to remain a widow and I'm not going to be able to remove myself by collecting ksuba, so let me at least collect sustenance from the estate. So Amalai said to her, no, mazayni name leslach. Now you also don't get any sustenance either. Because the Amr, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, hatevas ksubas lebebezin, if a woman goes and claims for collecting her ksuba in the court, ain la mazayni, she doesn't get sustenance anymore from the husband's estate. Why? Because now that she revealed that she wants to get married, because that's the first step, you collect the ksuba and you move on. Now, the whole condition that the husband had made, her first husband, that who had passed away, that made with her, that she's going to get mezainis from the estate, was only as the words of the ksuba say, kol yemei migur amar l'saich bebeisi, all the days of your widowhood when you're in my house, which is only because of the covet, that if she is showing deference to him, that she doesn't want to move on because she was so much in love with him and she remains in this house, so then, in that, for that deference, he goes and gives her mezainis. But if she doesn't want to remain in the house, she already wants to collect the ksuba and move on, then she doesn't get mezainis anymore. Now, from the fact that you came to collect your ksuba, although you're not getting your ksuba, but you were tevas ksubasa, so you don't get mezainis anymore. So Amalei, so this widow said to him, afchua lekurse, they should turn over his cheer. In other words, he should be downgraded from his gedula, this Rav Abba Rav Huna. Because kebetrei, obviously, you're doing to me like two chumras, two stringencies. A, you're doing to me like Rav, who not everyone agrees to that you can't collect my ksuba from me. And like a different stringent opinion, that of Shmuel, that once I come to collect my ksuba, which I'm not even getting my ksuba, that then I lose my mezainis. So the Gemara tells us that hafchu l'kursei v'tirtzua, they turned over his cheer and then they turned it right up, so that should be somewhat of a fulfillment of her curse, because they were freed of this widow's curse. Hafalahachi lo ifrik mecholsha, and still he wasn't saved from weakness, he still got ill because of this woman's curse. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbi Yirmi b'ra, he says that this was also related to this concept of this machlekes Rav and Shmuel, if you can go ahead and collect a ksuba bizman hazeh, or like Rav didn't collect for any widow her ksuba. So Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Yirmi b'ra, he says, look, adra bebezdin, what you could do is, you could either, for a widow that's coming to collect, whenever they come to the court, you can have the woman make a neder in the court, which is whatever the orphans dream up to make this woman forbidden based on the nether if she had collected her ksuba before what she's coming to collect now. Or vashbo chutz lebezin. Or you could have the woman make a shvua out of the bezin. And v'leisi kala v'lipa bu'udne. I want this word to come. I want to hear about this in my ears that you had a woman had that was a widow that had collected her ksuba in my days. Debe'ina kihecha da'avid b'maisa. I want that this should be a fulfillment, that there was such an action done like this, which is like my Rebbe Shmuel. Because he wanted to come to exclude from the students of Rav For example, like Rav Huna and his court, who they wouldn't collect the ksuba for a widow, he disagreed. He had like Shmuel. So he said to Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bira, he says, look, if any widow comes, there's at least two valid options. Either have her make a neder, even in Bezin, or make a Shmuel chutz lebezin, again like Shmuel, not like Rav. And I want to hear about this because I want the halacha to be like Shmuel, not like Rav. Now the Gemara goes back and says, Gufa, we learned that Omer Bzir Omer Shmuel says that Loy Shanu, we didn't learn the halacha in our Mishnah, that we were nimnon melashbia, that the woman couldn't make a shvua, that's ella almana. That's only a widow. Avagrusha meshbina, so we brought this earlier in the Gemara regarding when we asked the question, what's the difference between a grusha and almana? So on that, we said that the difference is that a widow would be meir hetter. She'll say, oh, well, I'm taking care of them. That's not considered collecting. Whereas a grusha, you don't have that. So a grusha, we are meshbina, again, because she doesn't put in any effort with the orphans, and she's not going to be meir hetter, so she could make a shvua of that she didn't collect any of her ksuba up until now. Now, the Gemara wonders, it sounds like, that the grusha de adra loy, but that, so that we're saying that the grusha, however, has to make a shvua. In other words, when you come to collect from any of the nechsi yisayimim, we said that the almana, which is a chiddush, that you don't say chino, but anyone that's coming to collect from orphans have to make a shvua to collect. So on that, the Mishnah said, however, they stopped the almana, so the Reb Gamliel Hazakum was mesaken, so fine, let her make a neder. Now, a shvua is a more severe thing. Now, regular people have to make a shvua. So it sounds like from the halacha of Shmuel that a grusha doesn't have the dispensation of making just a neder. She has to make a shvua like everyone else because she's not going to be meir heter. Now, that the Gemara asks, is that really so? That a grusha that would make a neder that we wouldn't collect her ksuba for her and she would have to make a shvua? But v'sholchum mitam, they sent from over there from Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it was a woman that was originally from Bavel. Then her and her husband went and made Aliyah. They went up to Eretz Yisrael, and that's where she got divorced. Now, she went and she was claiming her ksuba. Now, there in Eretz Yisrael, they said, okay, so he has to pay her the ksuba. And he had all his properties, his estates, in Bavel. So they made a claim against the husband that he has to pay, and there was a lien on his estates in Bavel. So they wrote this letter from Eretz Yisrael to the judges in Bavel, saying, Eich planisa bas plaini, how this woman, the daughter of that man, Kibilas Gita Minyada, who received the get from the hand of the Achabar Hijra, her husband, the Miskari Ayamari, who's also called Ayamari, that was his nickname. Now, Vinadras, Vasras perish of Oilamala. Now she made a neder, and she made forbidden all the fruits of the world on her if she had collected a ksuba up until now. And she because she was swearing, she was making a neder, a vow, that she had not collected from her ksuba up until now. Ella glufkar echad, one coat. V'sefer tilim echad, one sefer tilim. V'sefer iiv, umem sholos, sefer mishle. That balloon that are worn out. As we continue on Tamid Beis, now the judges were saying that she brought these things in front of us, meaning to say that these things she does have already from her husband's estate. V'shamnum b'chamisha mana, and we evaluated that they're worth only 5 mana. Now, but she still has a lot more in her ksuba to collect. When she comes to you, to Bavel, regarding his estate, to collect the rest of her ksuba, go ahead and collect for her the rest. So the Gemara asks, we see from this that it was a case of a woman receiving a get. It said, Kabila's Gita. She received her get from Acha Bar Hijra. And we see that how did she collect the rest of her ksuba? Not with a shvua, but rather with a neder. So we see that a neder does qualify to collect from her ksuba, even in the case of gerushin. But the inference of Shmuel's halacha was that a grusha has to make a shvua, and it's not enough with a neder. So that the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Ashi, he says, not a contradiction. Hahu get yivamen hava. That incident, yes, it was a get, but it wasn't a get from a husband. It was a get where this woman was a yivama, meaning to say that her husband died without any children, where the Yavam was giving her a get. Now, what's the purpose of a get with the Yavam? You either do Yibam or Chalitza. When he gives her a get, now he makes her not able to get married to any of the other brother-in-laws, to any of the Yavam. Now that she can't get married to any of them, she can't have Yibam with any of them, she's coming to collect her ksuba from her first husband's estate, which she was widowed from him. So although it says a get, but it's not really the case of a get, it's really a case of a woman being widowed. It's just that now it gets reinforced as a widow to collect from him because she first has to have Yibam or Chalitza with one of them. Now that he gave her a get, one of the Yavamim, now she's back, she can't go ahead and do Yibam with them. So she goes back to her first husband's estate, and she was widowed, and that's why Neda does work, because she's really qualified as an Almana. And Almana, we learned that she does not make a Shavua, rather, she makes a Neda. Now the Mishnah said, as we've mentioned, Hiskin Remulil Hazakin Shetei Neideris Bechulis Remulil Hazakin, since we didn't let the widow make a Shavua, that she should make a Neda. So the Gemara qualifies, Rav Huni says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn that she could collect her Ksuba with a Neder, Ela Bishalei Nisas, only if she has not yet gotten married to someone else at the time when she's coming to collect her Ksuba. Aval Nisas, but says Rav Huni, if she really got married to someone else, Ema Diranaisa, then it won't help for her to make a Neder to say that to collect her Ksuba and to say that if I had collected that I'll be forbidden on all the things in the world, that won't help anymore. So the Gemara says, Nis is my time. What's the reason why Rav Huna says that if she's already married, it won't help for her to collect with a neder? Seemingly because the Mefer Labal. Because she's relying on that, wait a second, very simply, I'll make a neder and I'll collect falsely. Because although I'll say that, and the woman's not suspected that she's going to violate a neder, because she's not really going to violate it. She'll make a neder. Yeah, I didn't collect anything up until now. And if I did collect, and I'm collecting again, then let everything in the world be forbidden on me. Great. She makes a neder. She goes home that day to her husband. She says, I made this neder. And the husband is allowed to be made for a neder that the woman made, B'yayim Shaman, the day that he heard. And he's going to make for it. And therefore, she'll be scot-free from not, she's not going to have to violate the neder. Now, but that the Gemara asks, well, Kilei Nisus Nami, then even if she's not married, so let's say she's not married yet. She makes a neder. Really, she did collect. But she makes a neder if I did collect already, then I'll have everything forbidden on me. Then l'chi mitzvah meifu labal. But then, she'll be forbidden up until she gets married. She'll quickly get married the next day. And when she gets married, then her husband will be meifu. So on that, the Gemara says, no, ina bal meifu b'kaidmin. That's not a difficulty because a husband cannot be meifu to nullify his wife's nedarim that she had made before they got married. That dispensation that he has is only if he was married to her when she made the neder. If she was made a neder before that, he cannot be meifu. And therefore, if she's not married yet to someone else, a neder is going to be enforced, and therefore that will work because we're not concerned that she's going to violate the neder itself. Now the Gemara asks, but there's another way to nullify a neder, and therefore it should be concerned even if she's not married to someone else. Because if a neichesh dilma az legabichachem mishari law, we should be concerned that she's going to do what's called hataras nedarim. She's going to go to a sage who's going to permit a neder. She's going to say, oh, I made such and such a neder that all the fruits in the world are forbidden on me. I don't want it anymore. I regret that. And he'll be matter that. So then that should be concerned even if she's not married to someone else. So I think Gemara says, no, Ksava, that Rav Huna held that someone that's requesting from a sage to be matur, that to be permit a neder, tzorch lefared as a neder, has to specify and delineate what was the context of the vow itself. How did it come about that you made such a neder? Now when she's going to start specifying in front of the chacham, the sage, that she made the neder for the orphans, and that was her neder, that if she had any pleasure from her ksuba up until now, that then, and she's collecting again, that then everything in the world should be forbidden on her, and then of course the chacham is not going to be matur. He's going to say, what are you talking about? Then go give back the money. I can't be matur such a neder. And therefore there's no such a concern when she's single, either because that there's no husband to be made for, and there's no chacham that would be matur because you have to specify. That's Rav Huna's qualification. Now Rav Nachman, he argues on Rav Huna, and he says, no, afilu nisus, even if a woman's already married to someone else, if she wants to collect her ksuba from her first husband that she was widowed from, she could collect with a neder. Now the Gemara asks, nisus vade meifu labal, but why? Rav Huna seems to be correct. If she's already married and she can make a neder, she'll be able to get by the neder because her husband will be made for the neder. So I think Gemara says, no, it's toma de madrinan la barab, because if she's married already, what we do is we have her make a neder in the public in front of 10 people. And Rav Nachman holds that a neder that was made in the rabbim, the husband cannot be made for such a neder, and therefore we're not concerned that the husband's going to undo that. So that's machlekes Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Now the Gemara asks on Rav Huna's interpretation of the following brisa. The brisa says, Nisas, if a woman got married, gave a ksubasa im nadra, so she could still collect her ksuba if she made a neder. So the Gemara asks, my love nadra hashta, doesn't it sound like from the brisa that she made her neder now, at the time which she's coming to collect the ksuba, which is after she's married to someone else, which is a difficult ben Rav Huna. He said that you can't make a neder after that you're married because the husband's going to be made for the neder. So the Gemara answers, Lo, I did nadra mikar. It's toma that she made a neder before she got married. Now, although she's collecting after that she's married, it's not a problem, because the husband would not be able to be made for what was made from her neder beforehand, like it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed, v'imbeis isha nedara. It's only if she makes the neder when she's in her husband's house, she made it beforehand, he would not be able to make for it even now. And therefore, she could collect now, even after she's married, because it's not going to help the fact that the husband is around, because he wouldn't be able to make for it because she made it before she got married to him. Now, the Gemara asks, but Vatanya, but we learn clearly in the Braisa, not like that. The Braisa says, Nisas, she got married, Noideres, so you see clearly the neder is happening even after she's married, Begoyva Ksubas, and she could collect her Ksuba, so it sounds like she's making the neder now, which refutes Rav Huna. So the Gemara answers, Tanoihi. So Machalik is Tanoihi, which is brought later on, the Memheim and Beis, where the Ikalamanda Omar, there is an opinion that holds, Neder Shehud Barabim, Yeshle Hafar. There's an opinion that holds that a neder that was made in many people, that the husband could still be made for it. Now, you're right, according to that opinion, that you cannot collect the ksuba, because even though it's happening that after that married, like Rav Nachman had proposed, that it's birabim, it doesn't make a difference, because he could still be made for it. Now, v'ikalamando amar, ein lo hafar. But there is an opinion that holds that you cannot be made for it when it's made birabim. Now, according to that opinion, what we say is that even after she's married, then she could collect the ksuba like this Bryce has said, which doesn't contradict Rav Huna, because Rav Huna is going like the other Tana. This Tana, you're right, holds that you could make the neder in Rabim and that she would still be able to collect. And therefore, then yes, even if it was made after the woman had gotten married, there's still a way that you can have avoiding the husband being made for it. You just make the neder berabim, and therefore then in such a case, that according to that Tanakh opinion, you could make the neder even after she got married. Again, but Rav Huna is talking about like the other Tanakh opinion, which holds that the reason why you can't make it after that she got married is because even if it's made berabim, the husband could still be mefer, and therefore to avoid that, she can't collect if the neder is being made after she's already married. Now, related to one of the details we mentioned before by Rav Huna, according to his opinion, the Gemara says that they had the following question. When someone's coming to be matar a neder by the chacham, does the shayel, the one who's requesting that it be undone, the one who had taken the neder, do they have to specify the details in the context of the whole entire vow, or do they not have to? So Rav Nachman ama einetzarch, where that actually relates to his dispute with Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that you do have to, and that was related to his opinion. Rav Nachman, who disputed him, holds that you don't have to specify the details. Whereas Rav Papa says that you do have to. And the Gemara explains the reasoning for each opinion. Rav Nachman Amar Ein Tzarich, he says that you don't have to. And he says the logic for this is, because Di Amar Tzarich, if you say that the petitioner has to specify all the details, now you're going to run into problems in that case. Because Zimnin the guy is Leili Deburi, what happens is that sometimes the person might end up cutting off some of the words, meaning they're not going to specify all the details. They're not going to mention all the facets. Now, the problem is that B'chacham, the sage, he's only permitting according to what his knowledge is in the case. My Deshama Mefer, what he hears is what he's nullifying, which you have any time that you encounter when you're asking a Shaila to a Rav. He's only answering regarding the question that you said. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know if what you're telling is even the truth. But he's answering you based on what you said. Now, the Chacham is the same thing. Now, the problem is, and if that's the case, if you're not telling him all the details, what he's being matur is not exactly what happened, and therefore that's not going to be a valid hataras nadar. So therefore, you don't specify everything that went on in the context of the neder. Rather, you say, this is the neder that I made, and I made this forbidden on me, these types of fruits, and then he's matur the neder, because if we actually required all of it, and then you don't say all of it, then it won't be a valid hataras nadar. Rav Papa Amatzar, he says, no, that you do need to specify all the details. Mishum milsa di isura, because of a prohibitory concern, meaning maybe, and this is actually Rav Huna Lashitasa, who he was the one that says that you do have to specify the details, because maybe the neder was taken because of a dvar isur, of something that's forbidden. For example, like the case we mentioned before, with a woman collecting her ksuba. Or for example, if let's say she says that all the fruits of the world would be forbidden to me if I violate this sin. Meaning sometimes people make gedorim. They say, look, I don't want to violate this sin, but I have such a desire. So if I do it, I'm going to penalize myself based on the neder that all these, that will forever be, my favorite chocolate will be forever forbidden for me. Now, but the problem is not a person actually wants both. So they come to the chacham and they say, oh, I made such a neder. Could I go ahead and, because they want to violate that sin? Now, if you're not going to ask the details, you unwittingly are going to be permitting them to sin because you're undoing their neder. So therefore, Papa held that no, because of concerns of Averis, you have to have the person specify all the details, and only then could we be matter the neder. Now, the Gemara asks on Rav Nachman's opinion that you don't have to specify the details, because now we learned in the Mishnah, and this is in Becheiris Nav Memheim Abeis, the Mishnah says, HaNoisei Noshem Ba'Avera. If a person married a woman in sin, for example, a Kohen marries a woman that's forbidden to marry into Kohuna, let's say a grusha. So, Pasul, he's now invalid to do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Ad Sheyidur Hano. Until he makes a neder forbidding him from having pleasure from her, meaning to say that he's going to divorce her. Now, V'tanei Allah, we learned on the Braisa, that neder, what he does is, he makes a neder forbidding Hana from her, v'ayver, and he does the avayda, even though he didn't even divorce her yet, then yared, he comes down from after doing the avayda, and when he's done, and then umagarsh, then he could divorce her. Now, v'i amr ein etzarech lefarad es ha-neder, now the Gemara asks on Rav Nachman, if you hold it, you don't have to specify the details of your neder, well, leichish, then we have to be concerned that when they find out you're married to a grusha, no, you can't do the avodah. No, he really wants to do the avodah. It only comes up, let's say, twice a year for him to do the avodah. So say, you know what? I take a neder. I'm not going to have anything to do with her. Oh, you took a neder. Okay, we know that you're going to end up divorcing her. Fine, you go up, do the avodah. Problem is, if when you come to the chacham, you don't have to say the specific details, well, then leichish, we have to be concerned. Dilma ozla gabi chacham asharle. He might just come to the chacham and they'll permit. We'll say that, oh, I took a neder forbidding myself from hanof, my wife. You did? Okay, want to be matur? You have charat? Yeah, okay, we matur. Problem is, the whole purpose of the neder was so that he'll divorce her, which is because he's married to her in sin. But if the chacham is not going to ask him the details, are you married to a grusha? He's not going to ask him all these specifics. You're going to run into that problem. So the Gemara answers, as we continue to have Balaam and Vav and Aleph, you're right, that could generally be a concern. But Rav Nachman is not concerned for that, because like in the case of the Mishnah Mechayris, we're talking about demadrinan le'beram. We make the kohen in that situation make the neder in the rabim. Now the Gemara says, that works well according to the pin that says that when you make a neder in, let's say, in front of 10 people, that then that cannot be nullified anymore. So it wouldn't help to go to a chacham to be mat the neder, and you're stuck with a neder, and if you'll have to divorce her. According to the pin that says that you could be made for a neder, even though it's made barabim. So what are you going to say over there? If you don't have to be mafar the neder, and you could be matur it, even though it's made barabim, you're back to the problem. What does it help by him making the neder to be allowing him to do that avodah? So the Gemara answers, demadrin le al das rabim, that this is not just birabim. The neder is made on where they tell him, we are making you take this neder, not on your own das, on our das, meaning on our opinions, on what we want. Where the Amma Meima says, the hilchasa, the halacha is, even according to the pin that holds, that even if you make the neder in front of 10 people, it could still be undone. Al das rabim ein lo hafar. But if it's made with the intentions of the rabim, then they hold the keys, and it's their das that's important, not your das, where if it's your das, you've got to be matured, you can't be matured anymore, and therefore that's the case in the Mishnah Mechayris, where the kohen is going to be stuck. It was a neder shehuda al das rabim. Now the Gemara just qualifies, but v'han immediately, when did we say, which is the case in the Mishnah Mechayris, that if you make a ned al das rabim, that you can't be matured anymore, that's only l'dvar harishus. That's only for something that's a voluntary thing, where we don't need to be made for it for a mitzvah purpose. But if it's for a mitzvah purpose, then even though it was made al das rabim, then you could be matur the neder. As the Gemara says, kahu makri dardaki, like there was a certain teacher for little children, the Adri Rav Acha, that Rav Acha made a neder al das rabim that he should never teach little children anymore. As the Gemara says, well, al das rabim to have a pasha biyanuki, because he was hitting them too much, and he was causing trauma for these children. He says, no more, you cannot be a school teacher anymore, forever. Now, Vahadri Ravina. But Ravina actually reinserted him as a school teacher. Because they couldn't find anyone that was as precise as him to give over the Messiah, to give over the teaching of the Torah as appropriately as possible. So then they put in possibly some safeguards to whatever their concerns were. But the point is that although there's a neder al das rabim, which has no hafara, and that's the case in the Mishnah Besechtes Becheiris, and that's why it's not a difficulty for Rav Nachman, even though you don't have to be fired to your neder, but when it's for a dvar mitzvah, like teaching little children, then even though it was a neder al das rabim, then there is an option of being mater that neder for the future.